You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has been open for around about 45 minutes, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunze from Sandlam Private Wealth. And I'm just looking at the diary. It's pretty busy, dominated, I think, South Africa-wise anyway, by the Saab meeting starting on Wednesday, concluding on Thursday. And, of course, we know what the conclusion is. It'll be unchanged again, the repo rate, that is.
Lindsay, good morning. You're exactly right. It is a busy week, locally and offshore. No surprises if you look at the economists that are, you know, talking about our Reserve Bank medium forecast. I think there were 15 economists polled by either Reuters or Bloomberg. They all expect the repo rate to remain at 6.5%. I think there were just three dissenters talking about a cut to 25. But, you know, I've been speaking about this for a while. You got to think that it's more likely they are going to cut. But, the problem is, Lindsay, you've got we've got Moody's in Feb, the fly in the ointment, and they're unlikely to cut before we know what's happening with Moody's, unfortunately.
Also today in South Africa, we've got the Bureau for Economic Research consumer confidence figures. In the United States, we've got CPI. Tomorrow, we have retail sales in South Africa, which is always interesting. Correct. As we're a consumption-led economy. United States PPI, Eurozone industrial
Thursday,
production.
Thursday, we've got some mining data locally too.
Yes.
And then to interject there, tomorrow, that's the big one. We have, besides some Chinese numbers on Friday and this wonderful trade deal phase 1 point whatever, I don't know, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Earnings season kicks off tomorrow. So we've all been talking about this. I know David's been mentioning it, Apple shares and all these expensively highly rated shares in the US. Well, all should become clearer from tomorrow as the banks kick off officially the quarter four earnings season in the States.
Yeah, it is going to be a busy week then. It could make or break the market. But what tends to happen is that people understate their earnings or their expectations. So when they come in and beat them in the United States, they look like heroes. And it happens every single quarter.
You think people would know by now, Lindsay. It's been happening every year. They ratchet down the earnings, ratchet down expectations going into the earnings season. Then they come out and they beat the downgraded earnings and the stock pops. So, I mean, we're kind of a bit tired of this. We all know the story. But I think a lot of impetus this time around, and I look at the banks that are kicking off on Tuesday, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, to name but a few of the biggies. Their average stock is up 38% last year, and the earnings season this year is expected to be flat. So it takes a big ask to – there's a lot of hope built in these shares, Lindsay. And, you know, we all know that things tend to sort of revert to the mean. So either earnings need to go up a lot or the share prices need to come in. I think it's quite an important week for – and as you said now, I think it's quite an important week. It might set the tone for the earnings for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and maybe what happened on Friday where the market looked a little bit tired. You know, we were talking about the 29,000 mark on the Dow Jones, and certain commentators on television who should know better were saying, such an important number, the key number. But it was not a key number
at all.
It's just a bunch of numbers in a row.
Exactly.
But it did go above 29,000, the Dow, and then reversed and came down 100 points. It's not a proper key reversal, but it just said to me, yeah, the market's a little bit tired.
It is a little bit tired. And you know, just looking at, I don't profess to be a chartist, but if you look at some of these technical indicators on the US markets, they're looking very stretched. I mean, you talk about these RSI levels and stochastics and these fancy names that traders like to bounce around. It's not an exact science, but it's certainly indicating a market that's looking very stretched. And as you pointed out on Friday, it's the first time we had a little bit of a breather at the top of what has been an extraordinary run over the last decade.
Yeah, let's have a look at the market now. Let's just start with the S&P. Actually, S&P futures up around about 8 points. And I noticed something from a Forex site that I follow just popping up on my screen saying, eyes on Iran, trade optimism is the theme, or something like that anyway. So this has been going on for 2 years now. It's been 2 years. Well, the trade talks are not going so well, so the market comes down. Oh, we're optimistic now, so the market goes up.
And now we've gone from being a full deal to half tariffs to phase one, two. And now the latest news, Lindsay, is that nothing is going to be made public on the signing anyway. So it's just thumbsuck, really. It is getting a little bit ridiculous. But we like it. We'll take the trade deal optimism if it means we bounce a bit.
Yeah, Mr. Trump's been quite quiet over the weekend, but we'll come to him.
Very.
Yeah.
I don't know if they took his cell phone away, but not a murmur, not a peep
nothing
from the Trump.
Nothing happened. Anyway, just give us a general mood this morning. It seems to be optimistic across the board.
Very much so. And in fact, I was chatting to a couple of clients this morning, and you know, we put out a morning note. I mean, I looked at the spread bettors give us a bid and offer spread before the market opens, and they had us opening flat. I think it was up 11 points, not even a number. And quite frankly, we're up 250, up 0.5%. And yes, it is a bit of an optimistic mood, and all the sectors are getting a bit of a bid. Gold, even gold shares, you know, you're expecting a little bit of a risk on, you know, the safe haven status, supposedly taking a little bit of dock, was gold shares itself, spot gold itself is actually down almost $10. And gold shares are up 1%, so a little bit of a disconnect, and it's not exactly a RAM that's blowing out either. So generally, the general feeling, just to summarize, is general risk on mood, and maybe going into quite an important week in South Africa with rate decisions and retail numbers as well, there seems to be a bit of optimism.
Let's have a look at the market data now, as it stands at 10 to 10 South African time, 50 minutes after the opening of the JSE. The dollar rand is 14.32, the British pound against the rand 18.61, and the euro rand is 15.93, with the euro dollar 111.29. International indices from Friday, Dow Jones having been up quite smartly, closed down 133 points, or nearly 0.5%. S&P down 0.3%, Nasdaq down 0.25%. In the Far East this morning, it's up across the board. Nikkei, Shanghai, Hang Seng up between 0.5% and 1.1% respectively. And in Australia, the market down 0.3%. I dread to think what the insurer's bill is going to be for the fires that have been raging since, I think, October. But I'm sure that's got something.
Hitting a little bit closer to home. I see a Friday, I think RMI came out, one of the insurance companies that own, taking a 20 to 40 million Aussie dollar knock because of those fires. So yes, it's starting to sort of filter around, not just confined to Australia.
No, indeed. The insurance business is a global one. The gold price is down $9 at the moment to $15.53 and a bit. Platinum is $9.70, which is down nearly $9 as well, or 0.8%. Palladium, please, Nick.
Unchanged at the moment at 21.19.
Okay, so the premium expands again.
Yeah,
extraordinary stuff there. And Brent crude oil is $65.69, which is down 0.25%. Okay, let's have a look at some of the movers today. I've got Telkom again bouncing back. It was below 30 last week.
It was just a bad dream. It never happened.
Yeah, it did happen. Trust me, it's still half of what it was from results day, which is 68. It's 34. It's in fact exactly half of what it was. But anyway, we'll take a 5.1% rally because people are covering their shorts. Netcare 2% higher. Prosus up another 1.5%. Had a good week last week as well. African Rainbow Minerals 1.5% to the good, and South 32 up 1.25%. Is the Prosus story because of the Hang Seng being up 1.1%?
I think so. I mean, Tencent and Hong Kong having a great session, up 1.76%, obviously, as you said, listed on the Hong Kong Exchange. And I guess also a little bit of a sort of overflow from the Nasdaq last week. You know, it's been a solid week. Tech shares very strong. And Prosus bouncing back. And yeah, solid interest in that stuff. We have quite a few buyers locally in that today.
Very good. And a couple of diversified miners there, Arm and South 32 coming in. I've just got an update now. In fact, yeah, African Rainbow Minerals at 1.5% and South 32 coming in at number 5 here with a 1.5% gain of the big stocks. On the downside, retailers not doing so well at all. Well, certainly one isn't anyway, and that's Truworths down 2.5%. Mired well below 50. Italtal down 1 2/3. Coronation Fund Managers down 1%, Quilter down 0.7%, and Capitec down 0.6%. And we're waiting for London to come in, but any stories around any of the stocks or any other stocks that you're looking at?
No, I need to observe that a couple of the UK-based stocks, as you said, waiting for London to come on stream, but they have been quite negative. I see Into Properties also down 2.25%. That UK space we saw last week, I mean, I know some people don't follow it too closely, but I see Mr. Carney being quite negative with Brexit and talking about stimulus, and sterling took a bit of a knock. So I think a little bit of concern still. It hasn't gone away just yet. So I would say that would be the theme on the downside. And also adding to that, SA retailers, as you said, also Truworths. I've got a lot of the SA focused, long for life, a couple of smaller caps. Also, maybe a little bit of nerves with the local space ahead of our interest rate and retail sales, of course, coming out of Wednesday in South Africa. Just seen a headline coming across on Reuters: British pound falls below 130 after Bank of England policymakers now hinting at a rate cut. Oh. So that's why sterling's getting a bit of a knock, just coming across.
You see, at least it's a proactive central bank. I mean, I saw the story this morning that I got from one of the big merchant banks in South Africa, and it said SARB set to stay unchanged because of rating agencies' Q1 20. In other words, you know, our fiscal position being assessed by the rating agencies, and they won't do anything. You know what? Mark Carney and hopefully his successor, who was named last week, I can't remember his name now, but seems like a good fella. They're just saying, you know, Brexit is going to be uncertain, so let's preempt the uncertainty and the fallout and get cutting. We should be cutting.
We should be cutting it. But look, I also think it also stems a little bit to what the SARB, the South African Reserve Bank's mandate is. And it's a little bit blunt. You know, it doesn't talk about unemployment. It literally talks about monetary policy and inflation. And maybe at some point as the years progress, maybe that's due a bit of a shake-up, Lindsay. You know, maybe we need to change the mandate a bit, make it a bit wider to incorporate other stuff because certainly, we do seem to be a little bit asleep at the wheel, is not the right word, but we're stagnant, aren't we? We seem to be a little bit behind the curve, even when other emerging markets are, say, for example, cutting quite aggressively. Our Reserve Bank seems to be a little bit behind, and I always said, and you've said it before in the show a few times, you know, I actually think the market rewards it if they start to be a little bit
more proactive. Exactly, yes. If I was a rating agency and I saw us saying, well, we've got to at least do something, we can't do it on our own, monetary policy is not the panacea, but on the other hand, it's a step in the right direction.
Certainly doing something as opposed to the moment doing nothing.
Precisely. Last week, of course, South Africa's Eskom chair resigned. It says here after power cuts during the holidays. Was there anything over the weekend? Any load shedding, so-called?
No, nothing. But very, if you happen to, I mean, I don't read the comic, which is known as the Sunday Times, but apparently quite a bit of negative headlines doing around with Mr. Ramaphosa's administration, and seems to be a growing concern about Mr. Gordon and various others. Really, it's Eskom starting to snare a lot of them. Be very careful aligning yourself to Eskom because we aren't out of the woods just yet.
No, the headline in the Business Day this morning, Pravin Gordhan, and this is a quote apparently, "My future is in the president's hands. Public enterprises minister says intense efforts are underway to stabilise state-owned enterprises such as Eskom." Of course, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it's sort of laughable to say intense efforts are underway. What, they're underway now? After years and years and years of power cuts? Come on.
Thanks for taking notice.
Indeed. We mustn't be cynical, Nick. Give us the JSE indices after nearly an hour of trading, if you would.
Let's be positive. So we actually have a decent start to what I think is going to be a very busy week. Top 40 up 0.5% or 264 points. JSE all share up 0.44% or 252 points. And as far as I can tell, financials a little bit mixed to flat. The rest of the bourse is nicely in the green. We have technology up 1.45, probably telecom being the leader of that. Healthcare up 0.5, industrials up 0.5, basic materials up 0.53, and even energy shares a little bit into the green, 0.1%. Looking at traded volume today, so far we have, give me a sec, Lindsay. Just sneaked over $1 billion, 1.011 value traded so far this Monday.
Quite a nice brisk start. How's dry January going, Nick Kunze?
Horrific. Let's not talk. I'm going to be so moody by the end of the month.
Told you should do February.
Ridiculous concept.
Even though it's a leap year and you get an extra day in February, the fact is that February's the shorter month. And it's very simple. You never give things up on New Year's Day. You never give things up in January because it's the first month. You have to ease your way into it. You start in February. Like if you have to give up something short term, you give up on a Tuesday, not a Monday, because Monday's a miserable day. And indeed, Nick, today I think is officially the most depressing day of the year, when people either leave their partners or start looking for a new job, and generally down in the dumps in the United Kingdom anyway, because obviously it's winter there.
Yeah, just when you need a drink too.
Precisely. And can you have one? No, you can't. Nick Kunzer is from Sandon Private Wealth, and that was the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.